Welcome to the second season of No More Silence, a podcast where young voices take the mic.
Each month, we sit down with high school and college students, local educators, and community leaders from Toledo to share real stories, raw emotions, and honest conversations about life, community, and everything in between. No More Silence hopes to highlight the change makers in our community. And in every episode, you'll hear real stories of grief, healing, and resilience from high school students who are speaking up about the pain, the loss, and the strength it takes to move forward.
These aren't just stories, they're truths that matter. This is more than a podcast, it's a space to be heard, it's a space to be human.
This is No More Silence. My name is Shaima Abdel Halim.
And I'm Amanda Hatton. Let's get started.
Hi, I'm Sabrina Obey. I'm with TPS Toledo Public Schools. I do long-term subbing for Rogers. Right now I'm at ANSAT. And this is a piece I wrote with Rogers about loss. Somehow loss becomes like a bad teen movie. Friend dies, time freezes, and a friend left behind goes into depression and bad choices. Not my sister Donna. She took grief and turned it into fuel to fuel her future. I remember that day like it was yesterday. She screamed very obnoxiously, like little sisters do. She died! I kind of paused and looked at her, and I was like, what are you talking about? Because me and my sister was just doing something in our room. She's like, she died. And I was like, who died? And she was like, my friend, my best friend. And I was like, you talking about? And then we both looked at each other and paused. And tears start streaming down her eyes, and she couldn't even stop crying. My mom wasn't home because, as all moms, she worked until 6 p.m., so we just held each other quietly until my mom came home and we told her. Being sensitive is something in my household, as a half Nigerian, is something we don't kind of toil with. So my mom just gently patted my sister on the back and said, it's okay. I want you to make sure that you reach out to her family and go to her funeral if it's here. Because most of our friends were from overseas, and her friend was from Hawaii, and she died while visiting Hawaii on a trip. Like, she left and never came back. Something in my sister died that day. She became more quieter, more distant, kind of more protective, but all at the same time, she became more brilliant. My sister went into her work as usual after that day. She strived to make good grades, graduate from high school, and earned a full scholarship to Georgia Southern University. That loss reminded me of the time where not only she lost a friend, but I felt like my sister lost a piece of herself, because her emotions became more like, what are you doing? Where are you at? Instead of, I'm having a good time, sis, come join me. She was always wondering where I was doing, although I was 3 years older than her. She became my protector in a sense. After she left high school, she did graduate from college, and she went on to becoming a world traveler. And I think that sparked something when her friend died overseas. She just wanted to see the whole world. My sister even volunteered with the Peace Corps after college just to pay off her student loans, because we all went to school on scholarship. My mom didn't have time to pay or money to pay, so we all went to school on scholarship. After her 3 years in the Peace Corps, she left abruptly because she got sick overseas. She was stationed in the country of Benin, Africa. After she graduated with her master's and with the Peace Corps, she obtained her master's in California for international foreign policy. That's when she got her first job working for Trump in 2016. She said it was her worst job ever. She was there for the January 6th insurrection. And she took that day to take her chance to enroll to apply for the UN. The UN is the United Nations. She got in, and she's still overseas to this day.
Today, I'm joined by someone whose work touches so many young lives here in Toledo. Dorothy is with Good Grief of Northwest Ohio, an organization dedicated to supporting children, teens, and families who are grieving the death of someone they love. Dorothy, thank you so much for being here with us on No More Silence.
I'm happy to be here, Shaima. Thank you for inviting me. I am the managing director for Good Grief of Northwest Ohio, and we provide free peer support groups for children, teens, and their adult caregivers who've experienced the death of someone important to them. And we do that both in our mommy program space and in many schools in the Metro Toledo area. And whether it's in our schools or in our program space, all our support groups incorporate a variety of activities, including conversation, play, and expressive arts. We design these groups to create a supportive atmosphere that encourages children to share their experiences with grief and loss. So instead of guiding participants to a one-size-fits-all solution, we want children to feel empowered to discover their coping methods that work best for them.
Thank you for sharing that. It's incredible to know that families in Toledo have a space like Good Grief to turn to. Knowing how much support you provide, I imagine you also see the struggles young people face. Many are told to tough it out. What do you see as risks when youth are encouraged to hide their grief?
Well, we know that unaddressed childhood grief puts young people at a much higher risk of a whole host of things, including lower self-esteem, lack of resilience, poor academic performance, a heightened risk of depression, suicide attempts, drug abuse, delinquency, and even being involved in violent crime. So telling young people to tough it out when pertaining to feelings of grief and the pain of losing someone, it's a bad idea and will likely contribute to those risk factors becoming real problems in the future.
How can we help young people understand that seeking support during grief is not a sign of weakness, but actually a step toward healing?
Well, we know that how a person's grief is acknowledged and supported can significantly impact how it affects their life in the long run. It's important to validate all their feelings, allowing kids to express themselves without having to censor or sanitize their emotions. By staying out of judgment and supporting without trying to fix the situation, we empower kids to become the true experts of their own stories. And Good Grief incorporates various activities and conversations to help kids identify what works for them. We help them establish healthy coping skills and connections with supportive people, which will help reduce the overwhelming feelings of anxiety, isolation, and fear, while also fostering resilience and empowerment. Because we know that when young people have constructive ways to cope with the pain of grief, they are far less likely to resort to negative, unhealthy, or harmful behaviors to manage their emotions.
So, in your experience, what are healthier alternatives we can offer to youth instead of just encouraging them to tough it out?
Because grief isn't something we get over. But when grief is new, that's all there is. It's almost impossible to think of anything else. With time and with support, the rest of the world can get a little bigger. But the grief is always there. When kids are able to recognize and name the feeling of grief and then have some choices, some tools in their emotional toolkit to get through the wave of grief. But it takes support and conversation to learn how to integrate the loss so that it changes from something that happened to part of who they are. Eventually, that pain can also become a collection of memories that are a part of their story.
A lot of adults tell young people to be strong or move on fast. In your experience, how much do culture or generational attitudes play into that?
Well, most of us respond to death and grief in whatever way was modeled for us, whether that was our families, our faith communities, or our culture. In the moment, when we don't know what to say, we often say the things we've heard all our lives, things like, they're in a better place, or there must have been a reason. Or if we really don't know what to say, we say nothing at all. And when someone wants us to be strong or move on, it's really about their discomfort with the person who is grieving. It's as if they're saying, I don't know how to be around you, so could you just go back to the person you were before the death? And all of these are really dismissive things to say. And the grieving person feels even more alone because the takeaway is you don't understand and I'm not ever talking to you about this again.
So in your opinion, how can schools, families, and community programs create safer spaces where young people feel allowed to grieve openly without judgment or pressure to appear tough?
So we know the places where kids spend most of their time are typically not equipped to support them through their grief. That's why Good Grief of Northwest Ohio is so vital to our community. Rather than waiting for childhood grief to manifest itself as a mental health issue, Good Grief of Northwest Ohio takes a proactive approach to support the well-being of young people and their families. But some effective strategies that schools and families could implement is to provide outlets for self-expression, such as writing, drawing, music, dancing, and work really hard to make room for them to talk about and remember the person who has died. Sharing memories helps us feel connected to the person that died, and it's essential to remain open to the various ways of grieving. Grief is experienced differently by everyone, including children. There are many ways to process and express grief, and there is no right or wrong way to do it. Each person's experience of grief is unique. So adults can support children and each other by reassuring them that all their thoughts and feelings are valid, allowing them to grieve in whatever way works best for them, as long as their behavior doesn't harm others or themselves.
Dorothy, thank you so much for sharing your time and all the work you do with Good Grief.
I am happy to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Now, we'll turn to our young writers from Rogers High School, the Fearless Writers. They've been exploring the theme, breaking the tough it out mentality, through personal reflection prompts. The first prompt is called My Advice to My Younger Self. It asks students to imagine going back in time to talk to their younger selves during a tough moment. What advice would they give to help themselves get through it? They'll share the situation, the advice, and why they believe it would have helped.
Hello, this is Adon Reed here at Rogers High School, and my prompt says, the advice I give my younger self is to never lie, take care of your mom, and do what's right and never fail. I wish I could give my younger self these advices. These would have helped me a lot as I grew.
Skylar Walton, 10th grade, Rogers High School.
Advice I give to my younger self would be to stop stressing and putting all of my energy into something or someone that I know isn't going to change. Not only that, but makes our matters worse. It's only draining me in the process just for there to not be an actual positive outcome. I'm not saying don't fight for something you love, but when something you love isn't fighting for you, don't even waste your precious time fighting and stressing over it. And usually everything happens for a reason, and God's projections are protections and blessings.
My name is Aaliyah Chambers. I'm in 10th grade, and I go to Rogers High School. I would go back in time and tell my younger self to make more friends and don't grow up too fast. Why? Because when I was little, I always wanted to be older. Now that I am, I want to be a kid. And one thing I want to warn myself about is to make a lot of friends since I didn't make any since I was, like, very quiet, and to talk more and to stay to yourself because I always want to be somebody else that I'm not, and to stop thinking about things that you don't control.
Adrian, 10th grade, Rogers High School. The advice I would give to myself is to get a head start in everything so life can be easier when I get older and avoid a lot of problems that will give me problems when I get old.
I'm Joseph Allison from Rogers, 10th grade. If I could give advice to my past self, I would simply not say a word, as the mistakes I've made on my own made me who I am today, and I'm proud of where I am right now. If I were to have given myself past advice, I would have probably changed and changed for the worse, probably. So I'm happy I'm at right now, and yeah.
This is Heather Cleary. So advice to younger self, not sure what I would say. I wish I could spare you from the sadness and the anger, but you were a seed thrown into a particular pot. Not watered a lot, but enough. Your roots stunted maybe, your stem crooked, and yet you grew, are still growing. Everyone faces obstacles, all of them a little different. The struggle to push through the cold, dark earth is real. The stress to reach the sun unavoidable. To keep growing seems the key.
Hi, this is Amanda Hatton again, and this is my advice that I would give to my younger self. The confidence and tenacity you carry, hold on to it and don't let go. It helps you push past the fear of the unknown into unforgettable memories and opportunities. Stand your ground on self-respect and internal love. The answers you are looking for are within you.
Alexandria Lynch, 10th grade, Rogers High School. If I could say something to my younger self, I wouldn't say much or anything at all. All I would want to do is give her a hug to let her know it's okay.
Hey, it's Shema again. I would advise my younger self to keep pushing through what she thought was very hard. As they say, the sky is the limit. That is true. And aim always for the moon, so that if you miss it, you will land on a star.
For the second prompt from Fearless Writers, Pushing Through the Obstacles, we feature one writer as part of the club, James A. Huber Teen Center. How did they, or how would they, motivate themselves to keep going and get back in the game? They'll talk about the strategies and thoughts that help them push through in those moments.
Hello, this is Adon Reed here at Rogers High School. Today's prompt is going to be pushing past obstacles. My prompt goes, sometimes I just think of the ways to push past it by finding a way to make it happen. Because even if you can't do it, you do what you can. And I drew just a little picture of a stick figure looking like that looks like me. And it has a wall of doom and hope. Comes down like thunder, breaks down the wall. And I got put my thumbs up like, that's so cool.
Thank you to the Fearless Writers from Rogers High School for sharing such an honest and powerful reflections. It's voices like yours that help break the tough it out mentality and remind us that healing begins when we share what's real. Thank you for listening, and we hope these stories continue to inspire conversation, connection, and understanding in our community. We would like to thank WGTE and the producer of Voices Around Us, Chris Pfeiffer, for the opportunity to share our stories. Thank you to Good Grief and the Fearless Youth Writers of Fearless Writers. This episode wouldn't have been possible without the support of Dr. Heather Clary from the University of Toledo's Social Work Program, Dina DeBoard, Ms. Scotch, Jeanette Utter from Rogers High School, and our friends from the James A. Huber Teen Center. Looking ahead to episode 4, we'll dive into healthy relationships, where students and community members share their insights on building strong, supportive bonds in everyday life. This has been No More Silence.
WGTE. Voices Around Us.